their two sons, Cain and Abel. And the Bible says, we know that Abel was the shepherd and Cain was the farmer. And so Abel would offer to God the sacrifice and that was pleasing and acceptable from his flock, would make a sacrifice before God, and God was pleased with Abel's offering. But Cain also gave to God from the fruit of the land. This is important, the fruit of the land, but what he gave to God, God was not pleased with Cain. And so Cain became very unhappy and unsettled. And one day, contrived or plotted in himself that he would take Abel out into the field where he would kill his brother. And so that happened, as we know. Cain slain Abel. And Abel's blood fell into the ground. And then Abel's blood was then crying out to God. The blood of Abel crying out to God about the crime that Cain had committed. And so then the Lord comes and says, "Where is your brother?" And Cain says, "Am I my brother's keeper?" And then God, looking at Cain, said, "What have you done? What have you done? For your brother's blood, for Abel's blood, is speaking, crying out to me from the ground as a witness against you." And then we know that God then banished Cain. But he said to Cain this. He said, "You will be a wanderer throughout the earth. And this ground, this land, will no longer produce, the word there is wealth, will no longer provide wealth for you." You look at the Hebrew meaning of the word, the land will no longer provide the wealth for you. So Cain was then banished, and the source of his provision was then taken away from him. And so he would then be a wanderer throughout the earth. And it says that he wandered in the land of Nod. And Nod means wandering or wanderer. The land and the shepherd, or the land and the farmer, were then separated out. The provision by God from the land, the wealth of the land, that Cain would no longer have access to the provision of God that was there within the land. You know, it says in the creation, in the first day, God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And they said, "Now let the waters separate," and the waters separated. So the first two miracles were miracles by God's spoken word. But the third word, he said, "Now let the land produce." Do you understand? Let the land produce seed-bearing plants of every kind, being produced trees and so on. Because when God created the land, he already put within the land the ability for the land to be fertile. The ability of the land to bring forth life. The ability of the land to bring forth wealth. So he didn't speak, "Let there be plants." He said, "Let the land produce." The land produces because it has the spoken word of God that's within the land. So the land responds to the word of God. And Cain was able to benefit from that and be blessed by that before he'd sinned. But then God then banished him, and he was cut off from the provision that the land would give to Cain. It says that he then went around as a wanderer. But then somewhere in his heart, he rebelled against God, because it said that Cain built a city and named it after his son. So Cain decided that he would not be a wanderer. He would not accept the punishment of God anymore, but he would build a city. And there is historical writings, the Antiquity of the Jews, that talks a lot more about what Cain did. That he was the first one to set up weights and measures. He was the first one to set boundaries, to begin demarcation of the land. He built a wall, and by violence, He then went out by violence and through robbery and different crime. He took the wealth that was in the land and he took it for himself. He introduced the first economy of man, where he was no longer benefited by the wealth of the land, so he decided that he would take it for himself. You understand? And today, I'm not doing the whole set, just a couple of minutes, but just because I wanted to share this one point, because it's important as far as the land, preparing for another session about the land on the bride. The bride on the land. The bride on the land. But part of that is coming from this understanding about the covenant of God and the word of God that exists within the land for the land to produce wealth. But what we see today is a transfer of wealth, a man's own ingenuity. Everything that we have of wealth is somehow, you can trace it back to the land. Even the computers made from metal, the metal has come from the land. The silicon chip has come from the land. The energy that powers the computer has come from wind, solar, hydro, somehow through God's creation, through man's ingenuity, has learned how to harness God's creation and somehow to create wealth. But it all comes back to the land. Amen. So Cain sets up a city, and by extortion and weights and measures sets up a means of trade and transfer that he would then extort and take the wealth for himself. So here is the point I wanted to bring to. When, and Howard mentioned this earlier, that when Jesus was crucified on the cross, he says he gave up his spirit, said it is finished, he gave up his spirit. At that point, he died. He was dead. He made atonement for our sin when he died. It was done. It was finished. The need for his blood to be shed. His blood being better than the blood of Abel. Okay? His blood being shed. But at that point, he died. So why was the spear thrown into the side of Jesus? It was no part of redemption. The spear thrown into the side of Jesus was not part of our salvation or forgiveness of sin, because that had already been accomplished when he died. At that point, and as Howard mentioned, there's this parallel between the bride that comes out of the rib, coming out of the side, just as Jesus is the second Adam. But I want to add to that this one final point and principle, that where did the blood fall? Where did the blood fall? The blood of Jesus fell onto the land. Abel's blood cried out to God. Cried out to God for redemption. Cried out to God for righteousness. And Abel was a shepherd, but Jesus was the good shepherd. Hallelujah. Amen. Jesus was the good shepherd, and out from his side, blood and water flowed and fell into the land. And so if the blood and the water represent the bride is on the land and representing the redemptive power of the blood of Jesus for the land. Hallelujah. So the blood of Jesus, as was the blood of Abel, blood of Jesus spilt on the land, is crying out to the Father. The blood of Jesus crying out to the Father. There is redemption not only for us, but there is redemption for the land. And the covenant that God made with Adam and Eve, of which Cain and Abel were beneficiaries of, is a covenant that the land is central to. And we see it being unfolded through what happened with Cain and Abel. And so what we talk about the mark of Cain, and when I talk about Cain and the world system, I trace it all the way back to there being a difference between the economy of man and the economy of scarcity. Because Cain was operating then of the principle of scarcity, the principle of supply and demand, because he had no longer access to unlimited resource. You know, as the bride, as the people of God, we have access to unlimited resource. There's no limit to what God is able to give or what he's able to provide. There's no scarcity, there's no supply and demand in the economy of God. We need something. He's covenanted that we should have all that we need. If a crowd of 5,000 people need to be fed, well, he's got a way of making sure it happens. Hallelujah. He doesn't need very much, only the lunchbox of a young little boy. Hallelujah. So we're operating in a different principle, and we can do that because we understand the covenant that we have, God's creative covenant, the covenant that exists still power today for the bride, because the bride is the one that's with the covenant. It's a bridal covenant. So that's what I'm saying, is the market came, the system of the world, that we must be very careful to understand that we are privileged but also influenced by the world and the way that the world works. But to know, you know, today, the wealth today, and I won't say any more than this, but the wealth today is held somewhere. We'll say that. But God's signature, he put his signature on the wealth at the point of creation. Okay? God's signature, his hallmark, is upon the wealth that was extracted from the land. And that hallmark, that signature, can never be removed. So wherever the wealth is today, wherever the resources are today, that is in Isaiah chapter 47, I will give you the treasures out of darkness, riches stored in secret places. And we can spiritualize that, but it's not a spiritual application. There are resources that are hallmarked and reserved and accessible by those who come into covenantal relationship, which is the bridal relationship with him. Hallelujah. So the blood of the good shepherd is on the ground, redeeming the land. The blood that's shed, maybe not Abel's blood, but our brother's blood. And whatever blood has been shed on this soil of Kenya that cries out before God, the blood of Jesus atones for the sins of our fathers. The blood of Jesus atones for the sins committed on the very soil in which you live. The very soil of Kenya, the blood of Jesus is able to atone and make redemption for the land. If my people who are called by my name would humble themselves, seek my face, turn from their way, I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. Amen. Thank you. So I